life is full of examples of doing hard things for the good that doing that hard thing will achieve. Going to the gym, having that hard conversation, completing that degree, holding the line on a decision, and on it goes. When we are convinced that the outcome is good and worthwhile, we are willing to do what might be difficult to achieve it. Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Gamia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I trust that you'll hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit to join in God's work in your life and the world in this message. This week, we continue a series entitled Ring the Bells, in which we are seeking to answer the questions, what is Christmas really about? And what difference does that meaning make? This week, Associate Pastor Mark Coleman reflects on the way of holiness from Isaiah 35 and its implications for us.
Today's Bible reading comes from Isaiah chapter 35, and it's the first 10 verses. And it is titled, The Joy of the Redeemed. Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. Only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
Bells, they come a-ringing at this time of year. Sometimes I can't remember if they signal hope or fear, but bells, they come a-ringing at this time of year. Bells, I hear bells. They ring out from shopping centre sleighs as I weave my way through elaborate displays. Bells, they cry out, they sing for my attention. Buy this, watch this, give to this, it's endless. Does your year end with the accelerator pressed down hard? Ironic time to celebrate a manger-laid God. Born into humble circumstances, born into simplicity, born to declare God's availability to the ones you would never associate God with. Emmanuel, God with us. You choose the group. God with us boat people. God with us rejects. God with us old people. God with us defects. God with us in our sexual diversity. God with us uneducated. God with us in the university. God with us liberals. God with us conservatives. The them to your us. God's with them and with us. The whole point of incarnation is that God didn't move into the neighborhood that was the most righteous, the most religious, most Christian. God moved into the neighborhood, period. Listen, there are bells. They ring. Good news is coming. Are you ready to receive it?
There was one clap. You can clap. Again, another shout out to Will Small and Sam Hedden for creating these videos that have accompanied this series. They have been an excellent tool to help us to think differently, to think beyond ourselves, which I think are really important things for us at Christmas time. But with that in mind, would you join me in prayer as I begin? Father, my prayer this morning is a simple one. Come, Holy Spirit, and make us more like Jesus. Amen. It's good for our minds to be stretched. It's good for us to watch videos like that and to begin to think differently about stories that become so familiar to us. It helps to refine our thinking and perhaps in turn for those thoughts to shape and change our actions, which can be a really good thing. But the pathway to something good is not always easy. In 2017, Alex Honnold completed the world's first ever free solo climb of El Capitan in Yosemite National Park in the United States. 914 meters of sheer cliff face, climbed with no ropes in less than 4 hours. The hard path for Alex was this extraordinary feat of human strength and endurance, to say nothing of the mental challenge of not being crippled by the fear of being attached to a wall only by your fingertips and the rubber on your shoes that high in the air. The good for Alex was that achievement, the physical feat of completing it and standing there at the top, knowing that you're the first to have done it. But sometimes the hard path is so that others might experience something good. In July 2018, 12 members of a Thai junior soccer team were trapped 4 kilometers deep in a cave because heavy rains had partially flooded the entrance to that cave. A team of over 10,000 people, including 100 divers, ultimately overcame incredibly treacherous conditions to save every boy's life. The hard path that these divers endured was treacherous, life-threatening situations so that they might experience the good that is these boys' lives saved. And sometimes the good is for the rebuilding of an entire nation. In 1997, Rwanda experienced one of recent history's most vile atrocities, where nearly 1 million Tutsi people were wiped out, slaughtered mercilessly at the hands of another tribe, the Hutus. Yet Rwanda's leadership recognized that in order for this country to move beyond that situation, to move forward, to have any hope of moving forward, forgiveness was essential. And 15 years after the genocide, through reconciliation camps that the government had set up for those who had been in prison serving for their crimes, widows of the genocide were experiencing and building genuine relationships with those that had previously killed their families. It is one of the most extraordinary stories of forgiveness. And the hard path here was through forgiveness. But the extraordinary good at the other end was the possibility of a future for a whole nation. And a picture of something extraordinarily good is given to God's people in Isaiah 35. And it is made even sweeter by the context, as God's people suffered relentless attack after attack from the nations, but specifically at this point in history, from one nation, the Assyrians, who were led by the king Sennacherib. Into the context of despair, of darkness, of oppression, comes this brilliant shaft of light through storm clouds. About this passage, theologian Barry Webb writes, "Arid wastes bloom as the glory of the Lord comes down like refreshing showers, and the whole earth shouts for joy. It is a vision to steady trembling hands, to strengthen weak knees, and to lift fearful hearts." I love how he writes about that. And Isaiah's prophetic vision reveals this extremely good picture, a picture that the earth will be restored, that the marginalized will see justice, that those oppressed for following God will be released from their chains, that the sick will be healed, that places of death will become places of life, and that ultimately the redeemed will enter Zion, the place of life with God in all of its fullness. But there is a way to get to this good place. The pathway to eternal life with God is the way of holiness, as described in verse 8. Oil cannot mix with water. At a molecular level, these two things repel each other. And in order for oil to mix with water, it would need purifying until only hydrogen and oxygen remain. A journey towards holiness is oil's journey towards mixing with water. The breaking down and purifying that makes humanity new, that it might become pure, holy, set apart. Holiness is about being set apart for God, about being made pure, being made more like God so that we can be with God, the ultimate good place. And what we acknowledge at Christmas time is that humanity needed a pathway to get there, a pathway to get to good, to purify us in holiness, that we might be with God. And bells ring out at Christmas time to declare that Jesus is the way. Jesus even described himself as the way, the truth, and the life in John 14, verse 6. That the path to holiness, the highway to his Father, our Father, God in heaven, is through him. It is no coincidence that the early followers of Jesus were described by some as followers of the way. This is a glorious message of hope for all of humanity, that God has made a way for us. But Jesus' way was not easy. The pathway to something good is not always easy. And we can miss that living here in the Sutherland Shire. If you earned or have earned approximately $50,000 Australian dollars a year, then you are amongst the top 1% of earners in the entire world. $6,000 in your bank account makes you richer than half of the entire world's population. We are extraordinarily wealthy, and life here is really very good. Yet, to a wealthy man, in Mark 10, verse 21, Jesus responds to his question about how he can inherit eternal life with these words: "Sell everything you have and give it all to the poor." At Christmas time, we are deeply committed to making family interactions work. I know, because I am. The behavior of certain family members that actually shouldn't be acceptable, we seek to appease at almost all cost in an effort to maintain harmony around the Christmas dinner table. It's a season of peace, after all. Yet to those seeking to become followers of Jesus, in Luke 14, verse 25, Jesus says, "If you don't hate your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, you cannot be my disciple. And whilst these may not be literal commands to us, whilst Jesus absolutely used hyperbole to emphasize and make his point, they are absolutely meant to make us think about how we use our money and how our loyalty, even to our family, is not to come before a desire to live a life, a holy life, as God intended. And these are pretty interesting things for us to think about at Christmas time. The pathway to something good is not always easy. And the pathway to something good for God's people in Isaiah was not easy either. It's unlikely that the highway of holiness was exactly the path God's people were expecting. In Isaiah chapter 36 and chapter 37, straight after this extraordinary vision of something good for God's people, the people of God are abruptly confronted with a challenging pathway. Jerusalem is faced with the might of the Assyrian army, who have already conquered Judah's fortified cities, all of Judah's fortified cities. And on top of this, the Assyrian king Sennacherib, in a twisting of God's words, tries to convince Hezekiah that the Lord has absolutely abandoned his people, which I am sure would absolutely have felt like it was the truth. But in the face of oppression, attack, even the temptation to doubt God's faithfulness, Hezekiah resists these lies. He stands firm, and he prays, giving God the glory and declaring his commitment to him. Hezekiah walks the way of holiness, and he remains faithful to God. And in 2 Kings 18, verses 5 to 7, we read these words. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. Throughout the Old Testament, the people of God were always in search of a military solution to the problems of their oppression, the strife, the suffering that they experienced. Yet in Hezekiah's story, we discover that the solution to Israel's freedom, the way through this darkness and oppression to the glorious good, is the highway of holiness. And it is marked by the consistent commitment to putting God first above all other desires. And by Jesus, we are invited to do the same, to walk this way of holiness, to press on towards the glorious good that is life with God, both now and into eternity. And this is an invitation for us that demands a response. It demands something of us. But as we've already seen, the way of holiness is not always easy. At Christmas, the way of holiness acutely demands that we consider a number of things. How we spend our money. Whether our priorities for the use of our money are in line with God's priorities for how we might use it. Our position in the top 1 or 2% of earners within the world is a leadership position, as Jodine talked about last week. How are we using our resources and our influence? The way of holiness demands that we consider our relationships too. I do not believe that Jesus has given us the perfect excuse to hate our in-laws or even our blood relatives, but he does invite us to put him before others in our lives. We are invited to love and care for others, of course, But where has a slavish commitment to making sure everyone is happy and fed and given a gift at Christmas? Where has making excuses for others' bad behavior in order to keep the peace come between you and taking time to thank God for his goodness in bringing and giving us a way to life in him, a way to holiness that we celebrate and acknowledge at this time of year that we find in Jesus? Like Hezekiah, the way of holiness invites us through our fears. Fear as we confront our enemies, whether they are the physical people who oppose our life and our decisions to choose to follow Jesus, or whether they are the enemies that are at war within us. The enemies of pride, of addiction, of the temptation to despair. The way of holiness invites us into faithfulness, to stand firm in the face of doubts, to stand firm in the face of the lies from the enemy that would seek to say to you that God is not good and that he has abandoned you. Let Jesus lead you. Jesus who shapes our priorities, our use of money, the way we interact with others, who strengthens weak knees against fear and inspires our commitment to the goodness of God, who demands the highest of standards, but came as a powerless infant at Christmas to show us the way. I'm going to invite the band to join me back on the platform now as we begin to conclude our service. But as I finish up, and as the bells ring out at Christmas time, we're reminded that God has given us a way to something extraordinarily good in Jesus. We are invited into the fullness of life with God, both now and into eternity. And the way that we are invited to walk is the way of holiness. It is not always easy, but it is good. It is good. And where we are headed is good. And it is important for us to think about this not just at Christmas, but now and for this year and for our whole lives. Would you join with me in prayer as I close up? Father, we thank you that in Jesus we are invited into the way to holiness, the way to life with you, both now and into eternity. And Father, I pray that at this time of year, we might take a moment to acknowledge what it means to live that way, to recognize the gift in Jesus, but to count the cost of following him. And I pray that you might inspire us to greater faithfulness, to walk through our fears, to consider how we use our money, to consider our relationships, that we might be people who honor you in everything that we do. Father God, thank you that you invite us to participate. You give us an extraordinary mission to join in with, but that you also provide a way for us to be a part of it with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are many ways that promise us the good. As at Christmas, so in our life. We are told what we have to do in order to have a great Christmas and a great life. Jesus invites us onto a different path, the path of holiness. Where are you walking this Christmas? Is there someone you know who needs to hear this message too? If so, why not share it with them and see what God does through that? And as always, we'd love to hear from you as you hear and respond to the invitation of God. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at guymeabaptist.org.au. Thanks for listening, and God bless.